We know that humans evolved from monkeys, but what are monkeys evolved from? The world did not end in 2012 as predicted, or is the apocalypse just happening very, very slowly? Answers to these questions and more on this episode of This Paranormal Life! Hey, welcome back to the podcast. You are listening to This Paranormal Life, the podcast where every week we dissect a different paranormal tale, case, or claim, or beast, and get to the bottom of whether it happens to be truly paranormal or not. As always, you are joined by your two favorite paranormal investigators in the world, myself, Kit Greer, and this guy across from me, Mr. Rory Pars.
Welcome, world of paranormal investigators!
That's right, every episode we have a different paranormal case, and today being no exception, we have quite a big one that I've been meaning to get to for a long time.
A big one with a big foot, would you say?
I think that
That's
was episode
right.
one.
Back to number one,
oh!
baby. It's called a callback.
There is new evidence, guys, and you are not going to believe it. Turns out this guy, it was really a misnomer. His feet are not that big.
They are tiny, but we have managed to locate his social security number. We tracked him down.
His social security, he's a citizen?
Yeah, he was a regular person.
Oh my God.
The conclusion is very disappointing.
The rest of the visual description was correct, 7'5".
Yeah.
But the feet were way off. They're size 3, children. Tell me, Rory, how much do you know about sleep paralysis?
I know surprisingly little about sleep paralysis.
Given that it looks like you've never slept a day in your life.
How dare you, sir? I sleep like a... The only experiences I've had with sleep paralysis are the fact that when I go to sleep, I'm paralyzed till I wake up.
Paralyzed from the neck down, from the moment my head hits the pillow to the moment I wake up. Yeah. My eyes are looking around. I'm watching TV. I just can't move.
I don't know what it's like for you, but it's like I time travel when I go to sleep.
Really?
Yeah, it's like, bam, head down, blink, daytime.
I thought you were going to say like, bam, head down, cowboy times. Next night, bam, head down, dinosaurs. It's always terrifying.
And always backwards.
Always backwards.
Never forwards.
And it's a pretty good way to learn that the present day is actually a pretty good time to be alive.
It's pretty great. A lot of time for naps, which ironically throws me back into the horrible days. It's a cruel, cruel, twisted fate. I'm so tired that every nap propels me backwards into a nightmarish ancient civilization.
After a long 14-hour work day, you know, cooking and cleaning when you get home, catching up with emails late at night, you finally hit that pillow and bam, medieval plague times. Just the most stressful situations. Well, it's not going to get better from here into the episode. Personally, I've never experienced sleep paralysis, so I can't give my personal two cents on this. But I was compelled to cover this story by the sheer number of requests from our listeners. And it turns out that they aren't just interested in hearing about sleep paralysis, but also in telling their own story.
Oh, okay.
So instead of bringing you dusty old facts from history books, which, granted, have been cross-referenced and fact-checked and published in prestigious journals, instead I'm bringing you first-hand accounts, borderline hearsay, which is what this show is all about.
Exactly. I don't know if you know this, folks, but here's a little quote from Rory Powers. Mm-hmm. History is old as shite. It is irrelevant. It is done. It's over. What's coming next? What's current? I want texts. I want tweets. I want emails mm-hmm. about paranormal evidence. And finally, this is what we're getting into.
This is the opposite of the old phrase, those who don't study history are doomed to repeat it.
Exactly. I don't even know what the history is. So how can I be doomed to repeat it?
But you just study it, just like open a book.
No, see, if I don't know what it is, I won't even know when I'm repeating it.
So everything's fresh to you.
Exactly.
Even when you're making the mistakes that your grandfather made before him.
We're going to have a big fight in like 20 years and I'm like, wow, our first world war.
So you didn't just not study, you somehow actively unlearned things throughout your life.
People are like, wow, we should really take notes on how this started so we never make this mistake again. I slapped the notebook out of the guy's hand. You man, this war happened like 5 minutes ago. That's old news. I'm starting a new war.
You want to fight about it?
You're repeating this.
So I want to thank people for sending their experiences into us. They might find it weird if I give their full name and then read out their email. So in no particular order, thanks to Andrew, Stephen, Nat, Celine, and Josh for sending stories in. You know who you guys are. So one listener writes, "Hi, Rory and Kit. I'm very late to the game, but I've just listened to the Dear David Part 1, and you asked if anyone had ever experienced sleep paralysis, and I actually have. So brace yourselves, because it's really, really weird."
Ooh, wow, okay.
"When I have sleep paralysis, it's like being awake, and I notice someone tugging at my duvet, so I try to turn in the bed. That's usually when I notice I actually can't move. Then I am conscious that there's a person there and they have removed my blanket, pulled my legs towards them and are gonna attack me. Horrible, right? The only way I can wake up is by screaming. But because of the paralysis, I can't actually scream. But I think I'm screaming in real life and the noise of it wakes me up.
Oh no.
My flatmates must be thinking, what the f*** is happening at this time? Basically, even though I don't see much, I seem to fully understand the situation and what is about to happen when I have sleep paralysis. There are some recurring ones as well as others. Recently though, I had one about Pennywise. And again, I had my back to him, but he grabbed my face and turned me towards him. And then said something, I don't remember what, then kissed me on the lips."
Whoa!
"That was terrifying because I hadn't even seen the new It yet, and it was the new It version of Pennywise."
What? Okay.
"I like the idea of it being the reason you know it's the new Pennywise is because it's in like HD, like surround sound.
Compared to the old, lo-fi yeah, one. Exactly. Wow, how weird. You're dreaming about a fear you don't even have yet. It's so futuristic. I love it.
It's pretty terrifying, though, to think that you could just watch like even a movie trailer and then the demon that's in that trailer is going to start smooching you the following night. So even though this is pretty disturbing, this is a pretty classic example of sleep paralysis. We've got all the classic effects. You're unable to move. You try to scream and yell for help, except nothing comes out. And something absolutely terrifying, something demonic is trying to get you, attack you, or kill you. But the specific details of every story is what makes them unique. People see a ton of different things during sleep paralysis. Here's another one that our listeners have sent to us. "Hello lads, I have a short story for you. I don't expect you to mention this in the podcast, but I think you might get a kick out of it. Needless to say, it's all true. For like 2 years, I had a recurring dream that I was asleep in a really big, comfy bed." That's a pretty...
This is a great start.
That's an idea compared to your situation of hitting the pillow and then going to some sort of hellscape.
Oh, yeah.
Ideally, whenever you go to sleep, you dream being in an even comfier bed than you can afford.
That's a very realistic dream. Like, yeah. Your best dreams are that your bed is slightly bigger than the one that you're currently in.
I had the craziest dream last night where I could afford a Casper mattress. My dreams, for the most part, are like I go to sleep in my incredibly expensive bed that thankfully the Patreon helped fund. But then as soon as I fall asleep, I just dream that there's one spring just poking into my back, laughing at me. It can talk.
It could. The spring can talk.
Oh, yeah. Okay. And he likes to rub it in.
Trying to get to sleep, are you, Kit?
Because there's nowhere else to go. It's an incredibly narrow bed. There's nowhere else to go.
F*** you, Kit.
That was the whole dream. Just me asleep. In the bed. It was always in the same bed, in the same room, four-poster bed, white walls, white curtains, white bed sheets, very ornately decorated. I love.
Wait, so his dream is that he's dreaming inside of his own dream.
It's quite meta because if he was asleep in the dream, he wouldn't know what the bed was like. So,
yes.
So his dream must be just lying in bed.
So his dream is just like a bird's eye view looking down at him sleeping in a stranger's room. That would scare me so much more.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
I will take the makeout sesh with Pennywise 1,000 times than over. I would think I'd died. I would genuinely think I'd been killed.
I would be at midnight putting on chapstick to be ready for Pennywise.
Chapstick and a big red nose ready to go down. That's so scary. I'm scared already. Is that the scary part?
I think so. I haven't read the story far enough yet, but I think that's the worst of it over.
Hopefully.
I loved having this dream because when I woke up, I felt really relaxed. I'd had a great night's sleep. As if I really had been asleep in this amazing bed. Anyway, one day I was having the dream, enjoying a nice old sleep. when suddenly the door to the room opened. This had never happened before in any previous dream.
Oh no.
And 6 or 7 men walked in.
Whoa.
The men all wore well-tailored suits, Rolex watches, polished shoes. You could tell that they were very wealthy. Most disturbingly of all, they were all wearing Eyes Wide Shut style occult masks. That's like the Tom Cruise movie, right? But yeah, I think it's that kind of masquerade style mask.
Right, like sexy occult meeting mask.
Very sexy, very wealthy man.
I mean, depending what you're into, nothing bad is happening yet.
Depending.
Things could get very hot.
I guess, like, even if they're my best friends, I don't want 6 or 7 men walking into my bedroom when I'm asleep. Knock on the door first, please.
Maybe they tried. Maybe you're so goddamn fast asleep.
Even if it's my birthday and they're waking me up with a cake and presents, just like knock, wait, just text me, wait till I'm up.
I guess that's at least common courtesy. Sure, why not?
They all gathered around the bed I was sleeping in and began to talk to me. Not the dream me asleep in the bed, the real me. They look.
What? What do you mean?
Wait for it. What? They looked up at the ceiling where my point of view of the dream was from.
No!
And spoke directly to me.
That is so scary.
They said something along the lines of, "We are the creators of this room. We allow people to come here while they dream. You already know too much. And now, you must die."
We have to stop this podcast because the more I learn about this, I'm going to dream about this.
That's the danger. This is some Inception shit. We're incepting ourselves with the idea of the occultist, sexy, scary dream.
This is some sort of mind STD. it's going to spread now. We're putting this on a platform where thousands of people will download it. They're going to go to this weird gangbang room and have these crazy dreams.
Because that's where it was going.
We don't need to finish the dream. They took the masks off, they took their pants off, and things got real hot and heavy.
Or does it? Then they proceeded to pull out a kind of face mask, the kind you'd use to administer oxygen in hospital. They revealed it was a gas that would make it look like I had overdosed on cocaine, so no one would suspect foul play. They reached on, put the mask on Dream Me's face, and just as he was about to press the button to kill me, I woke up, sat bolt upright in my bed, shaking. I never had the bad dream again. Can you explain this? Was I targeted in my dreams by occultist billionaires? Was I sent to a parallel dimension in my sleep?
I mean, I can't explain this. That's truly terrifying. I don't know if I've ever returned to a dream location before.
I don't think I ever have. I feel whenever I read these stories, I feel like a very normal dreamer.
You've talked on this podcast about a dream where a cat stole your eyes.
One time. A cat tried to steal my eyeballs.
That's one too many times.
And I don't read anything into it, okay?
I feel like my dreams get more normal the older I get.
They're just about paying into your pension plan.
Yeah, like, I don't know, buying a new moisturizing cream, like that sort of stuff.
Yeah, putting on the dishwasher, unloading the dishwasher.
I remember one of the most realistic dreams I ever had was when I was probably like 14 years old or 13 years old.
Right.
And this was at the peak of Hilary Duff's fame. And I mean, I was obsessed with Lizzie McGuire and the Hilary Duff movie that had just been released in cinemas.
Right.
And I used to dream about meeting Hilary Duff.
I knew you all through this time. I don't think you ever mentioned Hilary Duff once.
It was a big part
of
my life.
Our entire friendship.
And I remember one dream meeting her. And I was so convinced I met her. And I was like, oh, let me get your phone number so I can call you. This was so bizarre.
It's never going to work in real
life
either. Because
I was like, I'll call you the next time that you're in Northern Ireland.
In Fort Stewart.
So I panic so hard that I wake up in bed and run to my desk and search for a pen and paper. And I've got them in my hands. And I realize what's happened. And I'm like, I woke up halfway through her telling me the numbers, which I now realize were not going to be Hilary Duff's telephone numbers.
But what was the logic there?
I don't know.
That she was telepathically communicating with you via dream?
She gave me half of her number and then she went, "This will make it look like you OD'd on meth," and then put a mask on my face.
Why would she even contact you from presumably Los Angeles? Did she find your Bebo profile and go,
sort of dream machine? I'm not aware how these things work. It was just a very realistic dream, and I never got the full phone number. I think I got like 3 digits, so I don't know.
Which were suspiciously a Vodafone number, which she probably didn't have.
I just want to say, you know, statistically, there is a chance that Hillary Duff listens to the podcast. I just want to say, Hillary, I'm sorry that I woke up before you could transmit the final digits. Get in touch. Hit me up on Twitter. You know, we can maybe rekindle this thing. See where it goes.
So you're still obsessed with her?
I'm not still obsessed. I just think it was a great show. It could definitely make a comeback. Should I be involved?
Are you an agent?
Yes, I should be involved.
Okay. So you're not obsessed with her. You want to be famous, I think.
I want a little bit of both. But more than anything, I just want the rest of the phone number.
Okay. That's like, I feel like magician type people, like Darren Brown, he's tried to guess lottery numbers before, which is pretty baller use of your telepathic powers. But I think an underrated one would be guessing Hillary Duff's phone number, or indeed any sort of public figure. If you're a magician, just being like, I don't believe what you're doing. I think these are all just like street magician regular tricks. And he's like, watch me as I call Obama.
Like 10 years down the line, I've got, you know, a couple little rugrats running around. It's one of their fourth birthdays. You know, kids are out in the backyard playing. All my friends and family are around. You know, I'm pushing 39, 40 at this point. I hire a magician for the party. You know, he's making hoops connect. He's pulling rabbits out of hats. And it's like, all right, any suggestions from the audience? What do you kids want to see? Hillary Duff's phone number.
Please, Rory, the kids are crying. They want to see balloon animals.
I want Hillary Duff's phone number now.
Your wife is standing right there. This is very upsetting.
Like, sir, I is that a trick? I don't know what this is. Are you a f-ing wizard or not?
My God.
Give me the number.
I've been waiting 25 years for this moment.
Now move your Dumbledore ass over to the telephone and call her.
I'm a clown, not a magician. I don't know what to tell you.
He like punches in a bunch of random numbers and the phone rings. He's like, Hillary? Yes? Holy shit. I am good. Yeah, I got her, Rory.
Okay, so I guess I take back what I said. I've had a couple weird dreams. You've had a couple weird dreams. I guess everyone has a few every now and again, but I've definitely never had something where I've been the target of some kind of cabal of occult billionaires.
Yeah, that's weirdly specific.
I've also never had any of the actors in my dream break the fourth wall and look into my soul as the observer in the dream.
Yeah, that's terrifying.
That was terrifying.
I've done a little bit of lucid dreaming before. That's quite fun.
Really?
Yeah. Well, you just like, you know, you're in a dream, so you just start doing crazy stuff.
You ran Matrix style to the nearest street telephone and dialed Hillary Duff's number as fast as you could.
Thousands of Hillary Duffs just filled the streets. It's incredible.
It's like that scene in The Matrix where the like the armory of weapons comes like flying in at 100 miles an hour, goes except it's just an army of Hillary
lines
Duffs.
Of Hillary Duffs.
Yes. Right off the bat, with this second email, things are getting a little weirder. The story seems to be way less like a nightmare and more like there's some kind of intentionality or reasoning behind the dream. Mm. It's not just blind fear. There's some orchestration. But thankfully, I received another email. It started connecting some of the dots for me. What do the different stories and details of sleep paralysis have in common with each other? Dear Sensei Greer and Sensei Powers.
Appreciate it.
After listening to yesterday's podcast and you mentioning sleep paralysis, I thought I'd look into this for you. It may be the link between nightmares, alien abductions, and even other paranormal activity. I myself have had this happen a few times. I awoke to see 3 alien-like beings moving around my room, but I could not move. They didn't interact with me, but I felt terrified still. Then I suddenly woke up in the morning and everything was normal. Now, I am no scientist, but my basic understanding is that it occurs during REM sleep, the part of sleep where you normally dream. What happens is that you wake up whilst your brain is still in the REM state, hence you cannot move your bodies, your brain is too busy, but you still have the visions, which brings the dream world into reality.
Ugh.
There are legends going back as far as Norse mythology describing hags and demons visiting people in their sleep. And these stories could be the foundation for some alien abduction theories. That's pretty fascinating. I appreciate that even though he is not an egghead scientist, he has given us some of their information suggesting this could be basically two different brain states colliding, like an unstoppable brain force meets an immovable brain object. It's like these two competing brain states are fighting for dominance, and you're basically left paralyzed as if you're asleep and having the visions of being deep in an REM state but still unable to move your body.
Exactly.
But yeah, this listener is absolutely right. It turns out that sleep paralysis is no modern phenomenon. This is experienced all throughout history. There's poems and paintings and all sorts of things made about it. People have always used the language of their age to try and express what was happening to them. And one of the most shocking things I realized once I was researching this is that just how crazily common it is. This isn't a one in a million thing. This isn't even a one in 100 thing. Estimates say this affects anywhere from 8% of people to 50% of all humans at some point in their life.
Wow.
Which means, statistically, it'll be me or you.
At some point?
Yeah.
Okay, Jesus.
Christ alive. And as many as 1 in 20 experience it regularly, maybe for the rest of their lives. But because it is so damn common, we need to step in and help out, which is what this podcast is all about. We're not just egghead scientists sitting around chatting. We want to tell you what to do if your sleep gets paralyzed, how to defend yourself against these ghouls and sexy billionaires. And I'm going to do that by telling you a first-hand story I found on Reddit. This post is called Sleep Paralysis Haunting by an Asshole Ghost. Last summer was the first time I ever experienced sleep paralysis. In my culture, there's a belief that when that happens, it's because a ghost, spirit, or demon is holding you down. I was pretty skeptical, so the first few times it happened to me, I thought nothing of it. But then the dreams started. In particular, they were nightmares. so they weren't dreams at all. There was a very distinct nightmare that I remember vividly. I was sitting on a bench with an old woman that I didn't recognize, which is a bad place to start right off the bat.
Awful.
If the old lady is not your own grandmother, get away.
What is she doing in your dreams?
What is she doing?
How did she get there? How was that thought even entered your brain?
I thought I explained this. My dreams, in fact, my life, it is a invite-only policy. I do not want 6 to 7 masked men entering my bedroom. I do not want to share a bench with a random old lady in my dream.
Absolutely not. Pinch yourself.
It's a very private space. That old lady is going to turn out to be that old lady from The Shining or some shit.
Yeah, the old horrible one.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's going to be like, oh dearie, I'm so glad that we're on this park bench together.
Yeah, cool. Just leave me alone. I'm trying to eat my lunch.
Oh, I will. Don't worry. I feel a little dirty. I might just hop in this bath
dirty?
For
what
a
you,
second.
A bath?
Fucking, a
what
bath
are you
just
about?
Appears out of what? Nowhere. Oh, give me 1 second.
This
dearie.
Is weird. I might leave,
to
ooh, be honest.
Ooh, I'm in the bath now.
This is gross.
Come over and
I didn't
give
need
me
to
a
see
kiss.
That. Absolutely
come
not.
Come give me a kiss,
no way.
Dearie.
No way. I'm walking the other way.
Mommy a kiss.
Again, either very terrifying or very sexy,
depending
what you're
on the person,
into.
Depending on the person.
Exactly.
He actually starts jacking off from most of the rest of this post. So actually,
right there on the park bench.
I probably should have. The old lady actually ran away in horror. So actually, he was the nightmare. Turned out he had infiltrated some poor old woman's lucid dream.
He inceptioned his way into some poor old woman's dreams. I mean, that's horrible. You don't want to have a... be haunted in your dreams, followed constantly by a guy who just shows up and jacks it.
Oh, God.
Because you dream about everything. You're dreaming about sunsets and like rainbows and stuff. You're not having a good time if you turn around and some guy, dude's jacking it to a rainbow.
Oh, my God.
It's beautiful, isn't it? Yes. Stop, please. Oh, that beautiful.
Ready to pop the question?
The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Yeah, sitting next to an old woman I didn't recognize. When I turned to look behind me, I saw a massive, ancient church. It was so old, it was crumbling. When I turned back, the old lady asked, "Whose grave is that?" Confused, I twisted to see the church, thin as paper, like a wall, shrink down into a little grave about waist high. It looked like a little lighthouse. I told the lady, "No."
It's not a response.
Well, there was a lot to take in, so, you know, he was not thinking on his feet.
I'm impressed he came out with anything, really.
Whose grave is that? No.
No.
She said, "It's yours." Then her face peeled off her body and started floating towards me. Ooh. I screamed and suddenly woke up. My room has no windows, so when you turn off the light, it's pitch black. When I awoke, the darkness of my room was familiar, but I swear that I could see shapes and people moving in the darkness.
Ooh.
My entire body felt like it weighed 1,000 tons, and I couldn't move, no matter how much I tried to throw my body forward. I was screaming and screaming for my sister, who was sleeping on the floor next to me, but nothing was coming out of my mouth, just empty air. Eventually, I somehow regained control of my limbs, rolled over, and knocked the out. The next morning, I asked my sister if she heard anything the night before. She's a fairly light sleeper, so she would have known if anything was wrong. She said, no. The nightmares continued to spoil my nights, but soon I got tired of this shit. My grandma used to tell me that if I ever got held down, to yell at the ghost to basically f*** off and spit at it. On a day during finals week last year, I was particularly exhausted. For weeks, I'd been living off 4 hours a night of sleep. Between classes, I decided to take a 20-minute nap. I bunched up some blankets and laid down on them, leaving my closet light on to illuminate a bit of the room. Safety first.
Of course.
Then I fell asleep.
Big mistake, pal.
After 15 minutes, I awoke, saw my room lit by the dim closet light, and once again, I couldn't move.
Oh.
But I was so tired. It was time for me to grow some balls. This ghost or whatever the f*** had the audacity to spoil my sleep for the millionth time. But I was done taking its shit. No one, and I mean no one, has the right to f*** with my sleep. Once this ghost decided to f*** with me, it was World War III. A really bitter anger surged in me and whispered, "If you bother me one more f***ing time, I'm gonna f***ing find you and I'm gonna f***ing kill you." Immediately, I could move my body once more, and I was free of it. Ever since that spoiled nap, the nightmares stopped, and so did the sleep paralysis. The haunting was done.
Because he stood up to his demons? Is that the takeaway?
He says, "So yeah, f*** that ghosty goo or whatever it was. I lost a lot of sleep because of it, but if it ever decides to come back, I'm going to kick its ass so hard it's going to start seeing me in its nightmares." I guess I thought this was interesting because we like to think that the scientific explanation is that these sleep paralysis episodes are just nightmares gone awry. But yeah. This guy seems to have a bit like the masked billionaires that broke through the fourth wall and communicated directly with our listener. This guy has communicated with the demon in his dream.
Right.
And it stopped coming back.
He kind of like made it back down.
Yeah.
You know, raised his fist.
Yeah.
I don't know if I would do that. I don't think that's a good idea.
To aggravate the demon?
To fight your demons.
Oh, do you prefer to run, hide?
Anything, preferably. Maybe join them.
Oh.
And start with other people's dreams. Because I don't know a lot about demons, but I know they have horns. That's one more thing that I don't have. That's already an advantage. I'm pretty sure they either have claws or goat's legs.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
often.
You ever been kicked in the nuts by a goat? Like, they'll explode. I want to team up with this guy. I want to be like, look, buddy, I know you're having a blast in my dreams, but hey, I'll be your assistant. We can go wreck other people's dreams.
Just imagine
my stupid little sister sleeping on the floor right now. We could go scare the shit out of her.
We could ruin her life, honestly. She's very impressionable. The demon turns up, is like,
hello, Rory.
And you're like, hey, demon. He's like,
why are you talking like that?
Talking like what? I just want to be like you guys.
You can't be like us.
Because the other problem is, one problem that I have in my dreams sometimes is if I'm ever trying to fight someone, I can't punch. I read it was a common thing that, like, your punch, it's like you're underwater. Your punches are really weak, or you just can't, like, you can't connect. You can't give your full force.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't even think real life Rory could take on a demon, let alone underwater dream Rory.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, is it Freddy Krueger in the horror movies? His whole thing is, it's a bit like the Matrix. Whenever you're in that dream and he's running after you, it's his rules, unfortunately. A bit in the Matrix, it's Neo's rules. So as much as the agents can try to stop him, he can just grab any weapon he wants. He can bend space and time. That's the problem with the dream, is the demon has carte blanche access to your entire life's memories.
Yeah, which is, like, that's not a good situation to be in. I think what this last person has done is he's kind of flip the script. He's taken control of the dream and turned it on the demon.
Yeah.
So it's like, this is my dream, my brain. And it's almost like, you know, if this lucid dreaming and these horrible nightmares are coming from, like, a psychological standpoint, what you've done is, like, mentally overcome the fear that was causing the dreams in the first place.
Yeah.
So that's obviously why the demon's not coming back, is because you've managed to progress and make a breakthrough in, I don't know, I guess facing your fears.
That is one way of looking at it, Rory. But what if?
Okay, here we go.
This case, in fact, all the cases we've talked about, particularly the sexy billionaires, this crossing over of brain states is not just some kind of happenstance that allows for a perfect storm of conditions, leaving you rendered paralyzed and hallucinating in your own damn bed and piss.
I never said piss.
Piss scared of the demons haunting you that you can't punch? Or is this perfect merging of brain states actually unlocking some kind of dimensional portal, some kind of rip in the fabric of space-time that's allowing you to communicate, whether it's telepathically or by some other paranormal means, with entities that are not of this dimension? When you go into that dream state, when you lie in bed and experience the sleep paralysis, are you actually interacting with disembodied paranormal entities? Were those billionaires telepathically communicating? Were those demons real? Have they found some kind of Freddy Krueger backdoor into your psyche?
So you're telling me that was really Hillary Duff?
It's possible.
The whole time?
It's possible.
And I missed it.
In addition to being a Billboard Top 100 singer, she is also an accomplished mind reader and communicator.
In between filming the popular kids TV show, Lizzie McGuire, she was spinning her top to make sure that this was in fact reality.
And this is further to something we haven't even talked about that much, but one something that our listener pointed out, that this ties in so much with the experiences of alien abductions, of lost time. People that say they've gone to sleep, and in between going to sleep and waking up, they've been abducted and experimented on.
Yeah, I guess that does make sense. But I don't know. I mean, also, yeah, there's missing time every night when you sleep. That's part of the process.
That's why you have to set an alarm, because you're not exactly keeping track.
Yeah, I don't want to draw a direct correlation between those two things, because there's a, like, after an alien abduction, you're probably a bit drowsy, just like when you wake up in the morning.
No, it was the alien anesthetic that they injected into my asshole.
Like, you probably, I don't know, maybe your alarm is going off, similar to an alien abduction if maybe, you slept in.
Maybe they didn't inject you, you just got a bug bite. I don't know.
Yeah, that's a big leap to take, I think.
As always on this podcast, we have to come down to a conclusion whether this case is paranormal or not. But Rory, it doesn't sound like you're too convinced.
One thing that is worth mentioning, just because I find it very funny, not necessarily relevant. Oh. I swear there's some country you can visit where, you know, when you're like visiting a country that you're not native to and you have to like take a bunch of medication or get injections to prepare yourself.
Sure.
For visiting that country. I swear there's one type of medical preparation that you have to do, and it's like a pill, and one of the side effects is nightmares.
Wow.
Yeah, which I find so baffling that you can take a pill that can scientifically give a human nightmares. Like, just be wary of headaches. Some ill feelings. Sexual nightmares!
Why sexual?
Why say it like
that? I don't know. Maybe it was just sexual for me because I'm horny.
Isn't that crazy?
Maybe the country is just really bad. And they're it's the medicine. The nightmares, that's the medicine.
It's like you're going to see some pretty awful things there. So the easiest way to become immune to it is in dream form.
These nightmares are so bad, I might do without the medication. What's this to prevent? Oh, 24-hour nightmares. You don't want to go off that stuff.
I'd have to look up whatever you had to take that pill for. But
I think I've heard that kind of thing with like anti-malaria medication. I think there's particular drugs for that make you go pretty much insane.
Yeah.
To the point where people decide not to take it at all.
I was going to say, is there like a flip side? Drugs that would give you amazing dreams? But I think that's just drugs.
Yeah.
That's probably why people take drugs.
I think, people take drugs to make their dreams, in fact, come true. Not just have nice dreams, but make them reality.
And you do not want to get those mixed up.
No.
You don't want to lock yourself in the room with, the nice, smooth jazz playing and a glass of wine. And, you invite all your friends over. You know, you pop the pill, you swallow it down. You look at the table and you're like, fuck, I just took the nightmare one. Oh, boy. Everyone get out now. Lock the doors.
You're just taking off your clothes. It's about to get nuts in here. Put on a little occult mask.
It's gonna look like I OD'd from cocaine, but it's just the nightmare pills.
If we have to come down on a truly paranormal or not, on a yes or a no, what are you saying today?
I'm not even sure what the question is. Are dreams real?
Is sleep paralysis a paranormal phenomenon, or is it just a byproduct of dreams?
I think I'm going to go with byproduct of dreams.
Wow,
for this
rude.
Week. I'm not saying
you're just going to say flip off all our listeners like that.
I think it would almost be ruder to them to say that it is
they're
paranormal.
Cursed.
Yeah, you're cursed. You took a lifelong nightmare pill. I'm really glad this has never happened to me, and fingers crossed never will happen to me. Good God.
I've definitely rolled the dice, though, by talking about it for an hour.
This is what I'm afraid of. It's now seeped into my subconscious.
Yeah.
All these crazy dreams that I've never even experienced. Tonight, I'm going to freaking dream about me in a white room, dreaming about me eating a nightmare pill and dreaming about it.
And if Pennywise is there, won't be surprised.
I think it's going to be a no from me this week. But hey, we know that we have listeners that have struggled at some point with sleep paralysis. Maybe you agree with me. Maybe you disagree with me. I think this is a great time to get in contact and let your voice be heard.
Yeah, and say you're f***ing liars.
Yeah.
And hey, in the next week, maybe we'll get sleep paralysis. Maybe we'll be on your side.
Exactly.
But that does just about wrap it up for the case of sleep paralysis on This Paranormal Life. Hope you enjoyed it. You could definitely send in your own thoughts to thisparanormallifepodcast@gmail.com. As always, you can let us know what you think on the socials. That's twitter.com/thisparalife, facebook.com/thisparanormallife. And if you do follow us on social media, you might have noticed that we had some news. We've been nominated for an award.
Yeah, Best Entertainment Podcast at the British Podcast Awards. This is the second year in a row. Last year we got nominated for Best Comedy,
which is a f-ing joke, to be honest. We've moved up in the world because we told them we're a paranormal podcast. Where's the paranormal nomination?
Yeah, they said you would be the only ones in the category. We said great,
fantastic.
No one else deserves to be in it.
In fact, why is there any other category than paranormal?
Frankly, we thought the whole thing might have been a ploy by the MIBs to get us in the same room together and then nuke it.
Yeah.
But we've done our research. It seems to be a legit operation.
Seems largely safe. Yeah.
No, but in all honesty, it's amazing. It's a really great honor to be nominated. It's quite cool because just like last year, you know, we're up against a lot of big names and a lot of big podcasts.
I'll say it right now, a lot of corporate fat cats.
Yeah, a lot of them.
All of them, in fact.
So yeah, it's really sweet to be considered for the award, and nice to know that a little podcast like this can reach so many people and be so influential. So
it's definitely fun because it feels like it was almost like pretty much as soon as we saw it, there was a few listeners were like tagging. They obviously follow the podcast awards and they were tagging us and being like, boys, we did it. But that's what's so nice about it is that, yeah, in the face of kind of lots of bigger podcasts, established podcast networks, celebrity podcasts,
yeah,
that we're
competing
against.
Famous comedians and everything.
That, yeah, it feels weird, like we're coming up on 2 years and you guys have been with us the whole way.
I know. So I guess thank you. It's massively, yes, down to you that we're even still doing this thing. So I'm so glad you've been enjoying it, and it's so nice to know other people are enjoying it as well. So yeah, thank you so much.
So I guess what we're trying to say is, with the awards coming up, there might be some new listeners, people tuning in trying to see, you know, what's up. Do not welcome them into the commune.
No.
It's a closed door policy, like we said. The commune is extremely full, so we are very understaffed. There is not enough food, not enough water.
I am 100% sure they are sleeper cells.
Yeah.
So the only food you should give them is a freaking nightmare pill and send them on their way.
A nightmare pill and send them to the pit. And of course, at the end of every episode, we have to take the time to shout out those who have supported us on Patreon. And that's what we're going to do right here and right now. Let's go. A thank you to Joachim Kohlberg.
You know, we only ever really hear about the Titanic hitting the iceberg. Mm. But we don't hear about its sister ship. It hit the Kohlberg.
What?
That's right. They were so scared of ice from that point onward. They thought, where will ice never be? Down in a mine.
In a mine.
So they sent a ship to sail straight down a mine shaft. The thing exploded almost immediately. The guts were ripped from the bottom.
Wow.
And it went straight into a Kohlberg.
Kohlberg.
Terrifying stuff. I think this time was a little different because everyone died. There were no survivors.
There was no romantic love story. There wasn't even a string quartet playing as the ship went down. I mean, the string quartet were setting up. They were getting their instruments ready, but the whole thing exploded instantly.
It was terrifying. People were like, had just waved them goodbye.
Yeah.
And it all went south, literally. Yeah. I don't know if he was named in memory of those people.
I mean, they say that, you know, 90% of an iceberg is below the surface.
Right.
Well, we're below the surface. So 100% of the Kohlberg is below the surface.
But if there's one thing that hasn't been a complete disaster, it's this podcast because of your support, Kohlberg.
Thank you so much. Also, thank you to Brendan James.
Defending Brendan. Whatever you give this guy, Whoa. He will guard with his life.
Wow, even just like a peanut.
Yeah.
He doesn't care.
Like an old iPhone charger.
Yeah.
I was like, could you just hold on to this for a second? And he went down on one knee.
Yeah.
And produced a medieval longsword and said, I swear on this blade, your highness. I'm not a king.
Yeah.
I'm not a king, sir.
But he's like an unsullied soldier from Game of Thrones.
Exactly.
It doesn't matter. It's whoever wields the whip.
Yeah.
He serves.
And we wield the whip.
Oh, we do. You're not a king, but you have a whip.
I like to crack it. I like to smack it. It makes me feel strong. It makes me feel powerful.
You don't have to do it in the studio, bro. You don't have to do it in the studio.
Yeah!
We're all friends. Oh.
the whip is the old iPhone cable that I told him to protect.
Oh, he wields the whip?
No!
So thanks, Brendan, for your generous support. Thank you also to Luke Rodriguez. That's right, Luke Rodriguez keeps us Rodriguez-ing. This guy is just an international man of mystery. I wouldn't be surprised if he was one of those masked billionaires just running around the world Matt Damon style. Really hard to pin down, actually.
Into dreams? He's one of the dream billionaires?
I think so. He's like some kind of looper. Spends his time jumping in and out of people's dreams. I don't know what he does for a day job, where he lives.
That is like the ultimate troll if like a detective is hunting you down and you just show up in his dreams at night and like moon him with your bare ass.
Yeah.
He wakes up all frustrated and you're gone, obviously.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Brilliant, Luke.
Thank you also to Derek Goods. It's actually good to get some support from Derek Goods because his evil twin, Derek Bads, has actually been draining the podcast financially for a few years as a hacker.
I don't even know how he's managed to do it at all. Mm-hmm. He's living up to the name, though. Fair play to him.
Yeah, he's just running with it. But I guess that's the beauty of it. You know, sibling rivalries and all that.
That's what it is.
You know, you guys balance it all out.
I really hope their sister, Lisa Just Fine, comes along because I think she'd maybe enjoy the podcast, maybe not.
Yeah.
But she doesn't care.
But thank you, Derek. I hope that you feel that we can produce the goods for Derek. Thank you also to Pepe Lestrange.
Pepe Lestrange, rumored to be deranged. Born and raised in a drain.
In a drain.
In a drain. He was born and raised in a drain, but it doesn't rhyme with the rest of his backstory.
That would explain why he's deranged.
Yes, it's a terrible place
a
to grow up.
A tiny. Drain.
I don't even know how he really got in there.
Even a baby would fit in a drain.
I think it was like one of those children that Pennywise stole. But then Pennywise was like, look, kid, you look like you're going to have a hard time with or without me. I'm going to leave you here. So he just kind of grew up in the drain.
Yeah.
Tried to get more kids to come down, but they were like, what the f*** is this kid even doing down there? Just leave him be. So he was strange.
Like,
he was deranged.
We're not going to come in the drain. Do you want out?
But he was so deranged by this point.
Yes.
That it's like prison, you know? You can't make it on the outside of the drain.
He couldn't. Yeah.
I'm glad he somehow managed to get a computer down there, though. Listen to the pod.
Much like prison, anytime he was released from the drain, he was back inside within 24 hours. Couldn't help it. Fell down any drain. But good to see that you're doing okay. Yeah, got an internet connection. All of that. Thanks, Pepe. Thank you also to Thomas Anderson.
Thomas the Choo Choo Tank Engine. This guy eats coal and is a beast. He is jacked. He is stacked. Yes, he is also half tank, but he's kind of whole tank because he's jacked, so he's a tank, but he's also half an actual military grade tank.
Whoa.
Yeah, it was an experiment that went really wrong really fast. They fused him with a tank before even really asking if he liked war or thought war was good.
Yeah.
So I think now he like works at B&Q or something on the checkouts.
Yeah, yeah.
He's not involved in the war, the conflicts at all.
No, he's very much a beatnik, peace-loving hippie.
Yeah. He puts flowers in his little cannon thing like every day before he leaves the house. It's pretty beautiful, actually.
Yeah.
And apparently he loves the paranormal as well.
Seems like it.
Incredible.
Caught juicing, though.
Yeah.
Despite being half tank and being tanked, was caught juicing at his job in B&Q. So thanks, Thomas, the tank engine, for that. Thank you also to George Eats Sabo.
George Eats Crabos. That's right. Have you ever been to Georgie's Fish Shack?
No.
The best, the hands down best fish I have ever had. Georgie serves them up straight from the rocks,
Crabos?
Dude.
Yes. Really?
Yes. It is legit. You can get anything you want there.
As long as it's from the rocks.
As long as it's from the rocks. She doesn't so much do the ocean part. But anything you want, man. Crabs.
Yeah, I'd hope so.
The little triangles that grow on the rocks.
So you just knew crabs, then.
I get it every time. You don't need to go off the special. I usually start with a little crab soup.
I'll
with a
take
side of
the
crab.
Little triangles, sir, followed by the little circles.
Delicious stuff, man. She's got it all. They even have one of those tanks where you can pick which crab you want to kill mm-hmm. for your dinner that night to add like a nice little personal touch. Yeah. And you don't even have to do it. Georgie herself will beat this crab to death right in front of you.
It's very violent. Yeah.
It's an incredible experience, really.
Yeah.
I mean, she's missing most of her fingers because these bastards are pissed that they were even taken from the rocks in the first place.
They are Japanese spider crabs. They are 18 foot wide.
Yeah.
She does use a spear.
I think Georgie's like 4'7" as
yeah.
well. So it's, I mean, she's smaller than them, really.
It's more of a gladiator pit than a restaurant.
It's an incredible thing. And, you know, whether you go home empty handed or whether you go home with Georgie wounded but a delicious plate of crab meat, it's a win-win for everyone.
Really affordable as well. So thanks, Georgie, for supporting us on here. We'll keep supporting Georgie's Crabos.
Georgie's Fish Shack is the name of the restaurant. But George Eats Crabos. George,
awesome.
You get it. You get the pun.
And thank you, lastly but not leastly, to Lord Grippington.
Lord Grippington, or as they call him on the streets, Slippery Fingers. It's like an ironic name because he cannot hold anything.
Yeah.
Like you put like a sandwich in his hand and it just like slivers out between his fingers.
Yeah, weird.
I mean, his name is Grippington.
Yeah.
You'd think he'd be able to grab.
He's the black sheep of the family. He's a disgrace. All of his brothers, sisters, parents, grandparents before him, a long line of legendary grippers from
yeah.
rock climbing to...
Like sailors pulling knots and ropes together.
That's right.
I think his dad was just a vice, like an actual vice in a workshop.
Not a vice chancellor, not a vice president, a bona fide hardware vice.
The most trustworthy grip of all time.
But Lord Grippington over here, despite his title, can barely hold a
pencil. It slips right out of his slippery eel fingers. Lord Grippington was a title he gave himself to try and win back the respect of his tight-fisted family.
But listen, as much as we just ragged on you for a bit there, we are the people who will not judge you, Lord Grippington. All are welcome in the commune, except all the new people, because there's no room. Like I said, no room at all. But Lord Grippington, glad to have you, glad to have your support. Couldn't do it without you. So thanks. We accept you, bro.
Glad you have a firm grasp on quality podcasts.
And thank you to everyone who has supported us on Patreon to date. You make it all possible. You make it possible for us to exist almost 2 years later and with a new nomination at the Podcast Awards. That's amazing.
Heyo!
You guys have made that possible. So from the bottom of our hearts, thank you so much.
Thank you.
We will be back next week with a brand new paranormal tale.
Bye-bye, folks.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.